Translation: when King Parikshit asked Sukadeva Goswami about the direct meaning of the material force, Sukadeva Goswami replied as follows: my dear King, a man belonging to the mercantile community is always interested in earning money. Sometimes he enters the forest, acquires some cheap commodities like wood and earth, and sells them in the city at good prices. Similarly, the conditioned soul, being greedy, enters the material, some material profit. Gradually, he enters the deepest part of the forest, not really knowing how to get out. Having entered the material world, the pure soul becomes conditioned by the material atmosphere, which is created by the external energy under the control of Lord Vishnu. Thus, the living entity comes under the control of the external energy, Daivi Maya. Living independently and bewildered in the forest, he does not attain the association of devotees who are always engaged in the service of the Lord. Once in the bodily conception, he gets different types of bodies one after the other, under the influence of material energy and held by the modes of material nature. In this way, the conditioned soul goes sometimes to the heavenly planets, sometimes to earthly planets, and sometimes to the lower planets and lower species. Thus, he suffers continually due to different types of bodies. These sufferings and pains are sometimes mixed. Sometimes they are very severe, and sometimes they are not. These bodily conditions are acquired due to the conditioned soul's mental speculation. He uses his mind and five senses to acquire knowledge, and these bring about the different bodies and different conditions. Using the senses under the control of the external energy maya, the living entity suffers in miserable conditions of material existence. He's actually searching for relief, but he is generally baffled, although sometimes he's relieved after a great difficulty. Struggling for existence in this way, he cannot get the shelter of pure devotees who are like bumblebees engaged in loving service for the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. For the most important information in this verse is Hari Guru Charanaravinda Madhukara Anupadavim. In this material world, the conditioned souls are baffled in their activities and sometimes they are relieved after great difficulty. On the whole, the conditioned soul is never happy. He simply struggles for existence, and actually his only business is to set the spiritual master of the Guru, and through him he must accept the lotus feet of the Lord. This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lada. People struggling for existence in the forests or cities of the material world are not actually enjoying life. They are simply suffering from pains and pleasures, everyday pains that are always inauspicious. They try to gain release from these pains, but they cannot, due to ignorance. them it is stated in the Vedas, tat vijnanartham sadguru meva gacchat. When the living entity is lost in the forest of the material world in the struggle for existence, its first vision is to find a bona fide guru who is always engaged at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. After all, if he is at all eager to be relieved from the struggle for existence, he must find a bona fide guru and take instructions of his lotus feet. In this way, he can get out of the struggle. Since the material world is compared herein to a forest, it may be argued that in Kali Yuga, modern civilization is mainly situated in the cities. A great city, however, is like a great forest. Actually, city life is more dangerous than life in the forest. If one enters an unknown city without a friend or shelter, living in that city is more difficult than living in the forest. There are many big cities all over the surface of the globe, and wherever one looks, he sees the struggle for existence going on 24 hours a day. People rush about in cars, going 70, 80 miles an hour, constantly coming and going, and this sets the scene of the great struggle for existence. One has to rise early in the morning and travel in that car at breakneck speed. There's always the danger of an accident. One has to take great care. In his automobile, the living entity is full of anxieties, and his struggle is not at all auspicious. Apart from human beings, other species like cats and dogs are always struggling very hard day and night for existence. Thus, the struggle for existence continues, and the conditioned soul changes from one position to another. For a while, he's a child, but he has to become a boy. From a boy, he has to change to a youth, from youth to manhood and old age. Finally, when the body is no longer workable, he has to accept a new body in a different species. Giving up the body is called death, and accepting another body is called birth. The human form is the opportunity to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, and through him, Supreme Lord. The Krishna consciousness movement has started to give an opportunity to all the members of human society who are misled by foolish leaders. No one can get out of the struggle for existence, which is full of miseries, without accepting a pure devotee of the Lord. The material attempt changes from one position to another, and no one actually gains relief from the struggle for existence. The only resort is the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, and through him, the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is a summary of the whole forest, which will be explained in more detail, since in the last chapter many details of the struggle were given. Yeah? So this is a general explanation of the forest itself. So just as the forest is full of different obstacles and one has to struggle, so is the material world. At the same time, people will go to the forest because they want to discover some sort of wealth there, whatever it is, minerals or wood or whatever. And similarly, people come into the material world looking for some sort of enjoyment. So we have the idea of enjoyment and struggle. That is there in the forest, where we go for some getting wealth to enjoy, and at the same time we have to struggle there. So that is the comparison with the material world. Not only in this example, but there are many places where the material world is compared to a forest. For instance, we have Samsara Dhavanala Nidaloka. The forest of the material world is afflicted by a forest fire. And then not only it's a forest, but you get the fire, which is also explained in one of the examples in the previous chapter. And of course the other example of the material world is the ocean. It is samsara, it's like an ocean in which the person is drowning, and you cannot cross over that ocean. So both examples are applicable to the condition of the material world. The ocean is used because you must struggle to stay afloat, and there is no shore to come to. One has to continually struggle, 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 and one cannot find a place of rest at any time. So, the forest is a good example because, like the ocean, it is also very big, and it has many dangers in it. And at the same time, it has some wealth hidden somewhere in there, which one has to discover. So people drowning in the ocean, not necessarily looking for any wealth or whatever, but drowning there. But the forest is used to show that one is looking for something very valuable there, try to get some enjoyment. can, therefore he's there, but to get that enjoyment, he has to suffer in many ways. So in either case, the examples are used to show the hopeless condition of the material world. The ocean is used because one cannot find the shore, and it is very deep, and eventually you drown after swimming and swimming and swimming. The forest is used because one's looking continually for different types of treasure, but at the same time there are wild animals, there is the sun above, there is various rocks and the things that cut the feet. Various obstacles are there in the forest to impede one's search for getting pleasure. So the example of the forest is expanded here in the previous chapter, showing all the different obstacles. And then this chapter here is simply an explanation of those in detail. So the first verse is explaining the concept of the forest itself. And here, Jhanvar is explaining that the material world is made up of gunas, sattva, raja, tamas, guna. And the living entity in the material world somehow looks for enjoyment within these gunas. Some people are attracted to tamas guna and they want that enjoyment, some to raja guna or some to sattva guna. Nevertheless, everybody in the material world is attached to some sort of enjoyment within the gunas, which means that to get that enjoyment, he must do activity. So he has to try to attain his enjoyment by actions. And through those actions, of course, he accrues karma, and then that will fix his next destination in the next lifetime. So he may go to heavenly planets, stay on earth, go to hellish planets, etc. He may get an animal birth, human birth, plant birth, or whatever, according to his previous actions. That is his karma. And again, he's still in the material world. He gets another birth in the forest again, and again he must struggle away, whatever. So no matter what body we take, whether it's human or deva or animal, whatever, still, it's in the forest and one has to struggle. Of course, aptly, the verse is for the human being on earth. We generally don't think of devata struggling, and the animals in the forest, of course, if they're in the forest, they don't have such a struggle as the human being does. Nevertheless, everything is relative. So even if one is on a heavenly planet or in Brahmaloka, we should not think that the struggle is over. Now, definitely because of the guna and the results of activity, if one goes to upper planetary systems, struggle is less. And because of one's actions previously in Sankhya. So one has less struggle, etc. Nevertheless, it is the material world, so one must have a material body. The Atma is different from that body. There's always that contradiction. So that means there is some sort of struggle, because the body is material. So one must maintain the body, and sooner or later the body dies. So devatas must give up their bodies. Brahma must give up his body. So that also is an inconvenience, because the Atma is eternal and wants eternal existence, but nevertheless, because of attachment to the body, you have to suffer and give up a body and get another body. So that is the nature of the material world. Even if we do get elevated to heavenly planets, there is inconvenience. Lower species of life do not realize their inconvenience. They take it as natural, so therefore they don't seem to suffer so much. But nevertheless, they're going through the same conditions with less awareness, that's all. So the animals in the forest also have to struggle to maintain their existence, etc. But they're not aware of that struggle so acutely as a human being because he has higher consciousness. So the human being, because of his particular nature of having developed consciousness, but at the same time living on the Earth planet where there is a mixture of happiness and distress, he at once realizes his condition and aspires to improve that condition. If one is on an upper planetary system, there's less suffering. Okay? So one is not so acutely aware of that improving conditions, etc., because it is rather wonderful and peaceful. But the Earth is a mixture of conditions, such that we always want to improve and get rid of the suffering and have more pleasure, more peace. So therefore, the human being is the one that really struggles among all the different species. Human being on Earth is the one who struggles the most. So the forest is aptly described here for the human being on the Earth planet. So he is the one who encounters all these different problems in life. So the human being is within the gunas, he acts within the gunas, he thinks within the gunas, desires are within the gunas, and he gets results within the gunas. And all of this leads to rebirth in the material world. As long as he acts within the gunas, then he gets karma, and he must take another birth in the material world. So in one sense, it looks as if there's no escape from the forest. Like the ocean, one cannot cross over the ocean, it's very deep. So in the same way, this forest is very, very big, and we cannot get out of that forest. We're trapped in that forest. So birth after birth, we take bodies here in the material world. We can't get out. So what is the hope for the living entity? So ultimately, of course, we do have the Supreme Lord trying to get us out of the material world. But unfortunately, the jiva is not very intelligent, even as a human being, so generally he will not take the hints of the Supreme Lord directly. He's not aware of the messages and advice of the Supreme Lord as Paramatma. So therefore, it is mentioned here in this verse that there are the devotees of the Lord who are like bumblebees. Who are taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord and the Lord himself. This is the solution to the problem in the material world. It's difficult to get out. So after describing all the different difficulties, etc., then he comes to the conclusion that one must take to the lotus feet of the devotee and the Supreme Lord himself. So the solution is there within the material world, because the devotees are in the material world. So though the jivas can't understand the Supreme Lord, the message is delivered to the devotees of the Lord, and then they can understand it. Unfortunately, most jivas will not hear that either. So therefore, there is some qualification. And qualification is shraddha, or faith. Only with faith the jivas will begin listening to the devotees of the Lord. Before that, they don't. So that makes the opportunity also quite rare, because jiva must get faith. So how does the jiva get faith? The faith also is the product of the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. even though the jivas don't want to listen to the devotees and get proper knowledge, even without doing that, the devotees give mercy to the jivas. That is in the form of a Gyatra Sutra teaching of the sorts. So by unconscious contact with devotional service created by the devotees, eventually some of the jivas develop this shraddha or faith. When they do, then they are qualified to hear, get knowledge from the devotees of the Lord. And what is that knowledge? The knowledge is the knowledge of the Supreme Lord, knowledge of the Atma, knowledge of the process to worship the Lord and achieve one's relationship with the Lord. So the devotee's function to give that knowledge about the Lord. And then if one follows, then one gets involved. So in this way the jiva is able to get out of this continual birth and death of the material world, that forest of material existence, but otherwise very, very difficult to get out. And the other processes of jnana and yoga are there, but they're much more difficult, and they also ultimately depend on bhakti. So therefore here Jagvara is mentioning that one actually has to take shelter of the devotees of the Lord, and then that means one performs bhakti or devotional service. So that's a method to get out of the material world.
So does it mean
we should
be a Shikshaku or a Vishadu, or any person who, any devotee who
introduced
somebody to Krishna consciousness?
To get what? The
Bhakti Lata Beach? That it seems so only when he gets under the shelter of a Guru, or immediately when he comes to Krishna consciousness through some Guru.
Yeah.
So then he gets
it. So, any mercy? Whenever he gets mercy?
So then why
is
then Guru
Kripa?
It should be devotee's
Kripa.
And
Mahaprabhu
say it's Guru.
Yeah. So the devotee,
Guru
is a devotee.
No, but not all devotees. When he specifically says a Guru Kripa.
Yeah. So because he gets mercy, he becomes a Guru.
See, most of the cases where a person comes to devotional service,
yeah,
not directly through Guru.
Uh-huh.
But
what is the definition of Guru?
So where
he anyone who believes Krishna is also a Guru, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he must have some teaching, obviously, but he's not necessarily a picture.
It's
a wide category. Obviously, bona fide means authorized. Authorized would mean that he's in some bona fide sampradaya, that's authorized sampradaya. That much we can say. Maybe it's an authorized sampradaya, should have authorized standards, etc. That's all it means. In other words, it's teaching the correct teachings, not some other weird teachings that don't correspond to the sampradaya.
How will the giving it just complete loss?
Well, part of it is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord makes arrangements also for the Jews when they're qualified.
So
when
I say any devotee
is practicing Krishna consciousness, he's a devotee. Yep. In other words, to get faith relies on mercy of devotees. So many types of devotees can give a Gyana Sukriti so that one gets faith. So it doesn't mean that he has to be a Prem Bhakta to, you know, instill that Jnana Sukriti in a devotee, any prasadam or anything, any chance a devotee gets, or any that a jiva gets, and that can instill a little bit of Jnana Sukriti which brings faith. So that's not necessarily done by the highest devotees, but any devotee of the Lord can do that.
And
continuing
this question,
what
role of Vishnu?
Diksha, he gives the Diksha mantra so he can worship the deity. That's all.
But we see in our movement that most basically, the devotee is, he think all other devotees were talking, when they get Diksha, they give less place to the other devotees and give more place to the other
devotees. Well, that's their misconception too. Which creates a disunity in the society because they have more loyalty to the guru than they have to ISKCON at that point.
Krishna will make the arrangement for the devotees to give up the pillars of his soul when it is qualified. What do you mean by the soul is qualified?
Well, that's under Krishna. When he sees them as qualified, he makes arrangements for them.
What is it for Krishna?
That's under Krishna.
Faith is a product of the sea of the Lord of the devotees. And the Tejas Bodhis from faith and Nima, that's also a product of the sea.
Well, obviously the mercy is involved at all stages. The mercy of devotees and the mercy of Krishna is always involved. At the same time, in general, it requires efforts on the part of the devotee. In other words, he has to get knowledge. He has to do the activities of bhakti, etc. Unless he gets kapasiddhi. But otherwise, his sadhana is necessary.
வீட்டுக்கு வரங்க